Welcome to another episode of Touchline Podcast. We're on episode 17. You're here with Rich, that's me, and Brett. Say hello, Brett.
What's going on?
And so this would be the Damar Phillips episode, episode 17. Also, the Chris Wingert, Chris Klein, and Kenny Cutler Memorial episode. So today on the podcast, we're going to talk about, I don't know, the games that happened last week. We had the game against the Galaxy and the Chicago Fire. So we'll talk about those, recap the draw against the Galaxy and the win against the Fire, and then we'll touch on Montreal coming up this weekend. And maybe a little bit about the Open Cup, since it's some of the preliminary games are going on right now and some Utah teams are involved in that. So let's start out by kind of recapping last week. What do you say, Brett?
That was a long time ago, man.
I know.
A lot of soccer played since then. No, it was, you know, the LA game was actually a very, very good game. It was a game that that RSL really needed to also. You could tell RSL was playing with fire a little bit. I mean, I think they were called some like 6 or 7 offsides within the first 45 minutes. Offensively, they were getting things put together. Defensively, they were, you know, I think I saw that over the course of the game, they only allowed 2 shots and none of them were actually on goal. So, you know, it was a good game. I think it's a game that they needed. I know everybody thinks we went back to the diamond, but afterwards, Jeff Cazar was quick to point out that it was more of a 4-1-3-2. And I think that helped the team out also because it kept those 3 guys kind of in the midfield. So where your midfielders are still trying to figure out how to run inside that 3-man midfield formation and having that relief of Beckerman behind them in case they do screw up. It was a good game for them. Much needed game.
Yeah, I mean, the LA game, so that was the, you know, it was another lightning delay game. So it started about an hour late. I felt bad. I was actually on vacation. So, I gave my tickets to my neighbor. You know, she'd never been to a game before, and she's going to take her 2 boys. One was a teenager, one, I don't know, was 9 or 10 maybe. And, you know, she was super excited, and then they had the huge rainstorm. And so I felt pretty bad about sending her out in that, but, you know, it seemed to let up, and, you know, I think RSL played pretty well. They handled the kind of new or the different setup, you know, like you said, with the 4-1-3-2 pretty well. Mm-hmm. And we're pretty dangerous, I think, for different parts of the game and create a lot more chances than we'd seen.
Yeah. You know, a thing that stood out is the ability of Jordan Allen. We've been seeing him a lot more and more as time goes on up top playing as a forward. And this game, they asked him to kind of sit back in that midfield role and play out on the wings. And you can tell something that I never really caught on to until I heard it on frame with Brian Dunseth. After that, I went back and watched highlights, and it was right. Allen will get the ball, and he instantly knows where he needs to put the ball because it's rare for a young player to do this, but he already knows where everybody is on the field. Before the ball comes to him, he gets that quick mental snapshot, and you saw that a lot all over that LA game, as he just knew where it was supposed to go, and he just took care of it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, like a lot of people have said, you know, he's certainly not afraid. You know, he's kind of more like a Fabi Espíndola kind of player where, you know, if he gets the ball, he's going to try and, you know, get it past you. You know, if he can, you know, I mean, he'll combine with other players, but if he has an opportunity to take someone on, then he'll do so. So,
yeah, and not only that, I think I've been playing with the idea more and more. We all kind of look at Luis Gil going forward as the heir apparent to the Javier Morales, that when Javi's ready to, you know, either when Javi's ready to hang it up or we're ready to hang Javi up, that Gil is the guy that was supposed to go in there. And more as I watch it, I wonder if Jordan Allen is that midfield guy that we would actually put there.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thought, and I don't know if he'll get that opportunity or not. I wonder, you know, when is he just going off with the U-20s, you know, where they're going to play him, if they'll play him as a striker or midfield. I mean, I have no idea, you know, where they're going to play him. It would seem that if we were going to take one of our, you know, kind of young guys and kind of replace Javi with them, it seemed like Salcedo would probably be the more likely choice, that Allen's more wingerish, but I don't know. I guess it would be an interesting kind of experiment to do.
Yeah. I mean, it was just because of, you see how Jordan Allen plays. He kind of is, he has those flashes of a decision maker. You saw that a lot in the LA game, and you kind of hope that between him and Gil, somebody's got that position locked down.
Yeah, I mean, there's only, you know, the sky's the limit for him. And I think, ideally, it almost seems like they would like to play him as a fullback, but because he's, you know, does such a good job higher up that they keep putting him up there. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I guess the end of the LA game was, finished that up really quick. You know, we had Olave, he had his bookend, you know, yellow card, set up the free kick, and then went ahead and committed a penalty on the ensuing free kick to give up the penalty.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And then, you know, Romano does what he does, and I don't know, it's so funny. Every time Romano steps up to stop a penalty, I just always assume that he's just going to do it.
Yeah. And he was lights out all game long. I know his penalty save is actually up for save of the week, and so it'd be great to see them, you know, see hit another one of his penalties win save of the week. So,
you know, and Juninho's penalty, it wasn't, you know, a bad penalty. I thought Juninho hit it actually pretty good, and Romano got it anyway. So, you know, he's just pretty amazing how, you know, he guesses right most of the time and saves it most of the time. So,
yeah,
it's just amazing. But, yeah, so that game ended 0-0. You know, I think RSL played pretty well and was probably pretty pleased with, you know, how they did. I don't know how you felt overall, but kind of got the feeling they were pleased with the overall, you know, effort.
Yeah, I, you know, especially after the game, you could tell there was a lot of positivity inside the locker room. There were Cesar's press conference. Even Raimondo's interview that he did with the media, he sat there and talked about how his team, that going, stepping up for that penalty, even if he allowed it, he was so proud of his team because of what he saw them accomplish. And that was a team that night that felt like if they would have lost, that it would have been like end of the world for them. And the fact that they got a tie in the way they did it, it spoke positivity about them, and they just loved every second of it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that game kind of rolled into the game on Saturday against Chicago, playing at Toyota Park there in Chicago, rolled out the same formation, same squad, and, you know, just kind of kept that momentum going from the LA game, where, you know, I think RSL did a good job of controlling that game. I know Chicago ended up, I think, with a higher possession percentage, which was weird, because it seemed for long stretches that, you know, they weren't the ones, you know, controlling the game. I mean, it probably made a difference that, you know, RSL was up. So, you know, usually the team that's down, you know, they have more of the ball and are trying to get back into it. But I thought overall, you know, in the Chicago game, you know, RSL just continued that momentum from the LA game and continued to kind of build on what they had learned about that kind of new formation, the way they set up the four midfielders. And, you know, found a lot of good space and good chances. We didn't create tons of opportunities, but, you know, some really good clear-cut ones.
Yeah. Enough to make you excited for this team. I mean, you know, something that I noticed in the LA game that it seems it carried over to the Chicago game is nobody really high on that Salvo Sandoval pairing up top, but for two straight games, those two were solid. They worked together, they worked off of each other, and in the past, when they've only worked together in sub situations, it looked like a terrible idea, but now that they've played, you know, full games together, they look completely outstanding too. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've been really impressed the last two games with the way Sandoval has been playing. You know, I think he does a really good job holding the ball up. I don't think he's that great in the air, but he, you know, they get him the ball and he holds the defenders off and combines with the, you know, midfield and brings them back in. And I think him and Sabo haven't been filling the space, the same spaces. Like, even though they both want to be in the same places, they've been recognizing, okay, if, you know, one of them's here, then the other one has to either drop back or flare out or do, you know, different things like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, it was, I think these past two games was great for them. They turned around and had, you know, 4 points in a week where you end up having, what is it, play on a Wednesday, turn around, play on a Saturday, and it's an early Saturday game at that. And not only that, a story I heard tonight was that when they were flying to Chicago the night before, they, I guess, almost ran out of gas, had to stop in Green Bay and refuel, so they even got to Chicago late and then even got to the field even later because of issues with the bus. And so the fact that they got 3 points after dealing with all that crap, right on.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago, they're not good.
No.
It was like watching us playing San Jose, where, you know, we got the draw here against San Jose, but San Jose is just, they're bad. And Chicago's same kind of way, I mean, same kind of deal, where they're just not that good. And I mean, they have a couple good players, but they don't play well as a team. At least they didn't on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And so for RSL to not win, that would have been kind of a travesty, because they were better by far than Chicago.
Yeah.
Even playing on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree. I mean, that was a game that you go into in this league, you can't say there is easy games anymore, because teams are just, they're that, it's getting that much tougher. You don't have that Chivas anymore. You don't have that New England team from a few years back that only won like two games. I mean, the closest thing you got going right now is a Colorado team. But even then, that Colorado team is, you know, playing good soccer, just not finishing chances.
Yeah.
And so there's no easy wins anymore. And so to say that, like, going into Chicago should have been an easy win is, you know, reaching. But that's a game that, you know, you need to go into and win, or at least get some kind of point on the road. Something that did stick out to me, and I don't know if you noticed it, but after RSL scored that first goal against Chicago, they didn't celebrate.
Yeah, it was kind of weird a little bit, like how muted the celebration was. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it was because it was so early in the game, or everyone was just relieved, or because it was like a team goal, so Sabo wasn't really like, you know, yay, I'm awesome. I don't know. It was kind of strange.
I think from the looks of it, and this is just me, I think it kind of looked like they had a huge weight lifted off of their shoulders. Like, all right, we got through the scoring drought. It's over. Now we can go back to playing, soccer. We can go back to playing RSL style of soccer. And so I think that was the moment where they kind of just, they came together as a team and realized that's, this is it. We finally got through that drought. Let's keep going. And as you can see throughout the match, at least what I, the little bits I was able to catch, they were able to play a lot better soccer.
Yeah, that goal by Sabo, that was a good finish. I mean, he was super calm about it and just slotted it right in the bottom corner. People give Sabo all sorts of crap. I mean, one of my old neighbors who sits by me, in the last, what was the game before LA that we were home for? Was it San Jose? Anyway, he was giving Sabo crap, and I finally just had to tell him to shut his pie hole because, I mean, Sabo, I think he's kind of aloof a little bit, and so people don't really understand him or whatever, but he's a great striker. He finishes awesome, and obviously, like the beginning of the season, he missed some chances that normally he's gonna finish, but strikers do that. Every striker is gonna miss ones that you're like, oh, that was easy. Why didn't he just score that? But I mean, I think Sabo is great, so
Yeah,
I can't, it rubs me wrong when people get on him.
not only that, Sabo is one of those that, to take away from, and it's an old 80s band, I don't even know which one. Sabo is that one player that you don't know what you have until he's gone. It's, as soon as he's gone, people are going to miss this guy. And it's going to be, they're going to hate it. I hate to say it, but they are going to hate life without Sabo.
I know. Well, from what I remember last year when Sabo was gone, I mean, we really struggled, and trying to replace, what he can do and how we like to play through him, and even just his finishing. And I really think, even so, people call him, lazy, that he has a hustle, all these different things, but I don't see it that way at all. I mean, sometimes he doesn't necessarily hurry, like getting back onside, different things like that, but I think he does a really great job pressuring center backs, as part of the team defense, or back pressuring the midfielders, coming back to take away places where they can pass to. And I don't know, I think he's a really smart player.
I agree. And I think people, it's unfair for people to hate on him because Sabo's, he's just that quiet player. He doesn't, he likes to be in his own little comfort world. He likes to just be hanging out in there and just doing his own thing. He's going to score you goals. He's going to create chances and things like that. I mean, he goes through those droughts, but everybody goes through droughts. And
Yeah.
I don't understand why people jump on him for the way he is, but me personally, I love Sabo. I am one of his biggest supporters.
Yeah, I mean, he's still scoring better than one goal every other game, which is awesome. So back off, people. Sabo's awesome.
Where do you deal with us?
That's right. You're gonna have to go through us. Yeah, I mean, not every striker has their flaws, and Sabo certainly has them, but I think we're definitely, lucky that he's on our team, and I hope he stays healthy all season. So, Chicago game, I guess, they talked about it a lot on the broadcast. They have that a new right back, Jovin Jones. He was awesome. I'll be really interested to see how he kind of progresses in his MLS career, because he played really, really well, and he's got speed, and he's kind of like that, Amand Sally or Phillips type, where likes to run up and down, and they're fast, and like to cross the ball and all that, plus they're a good defender. So yeah, he played well. We gave up that PK at the end by Vasquez, and I thought Romano was going to save it again. He almost did, but they pulled the goal back, which was unfortunate because I don't think they
Yeah, he picked
deserve to
it.
score. But at least, you know, we still won the game, so I guess that's all that matters. It was pretty funny that,
But you know, it was a positive result.
yeah, it was pretty funny that most of Chicago's chances, their best chances, were all from Lavelle Palmer. You know, their right back who used to play for RSL. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, and I quickly sat here and watched the results. I wasn't able to catch the entire game, but for highlights, what it shows is a lot of their offensive opportunities came from Lavelle Palmer just trying to lob it in there and trying to hope something happens.
Yeah, and I mean,
So.
I think he probably had two of their best like actual shot opportunities, even though I think one of them was like he was trying to cross it and it just came off his foot wrong. But yeah, it's good the RSL won the game that they were supposed to win. So finally got some goals. So
Awesome.
that brings us to Montreal. And Montreal, they're also not good.
They're not, and the sad thing is they just about won Champions League.
Right. They won it for about what 60 minutes or something, or through the second leg, and then it all fell apart. And then so tonight they were playing in the semifinals of the Canadian Cup. You know, if you win the Canadian Cup, then you get back into Champions League. They were playing Toronto, and they won that two-leg series. They lost the game but won the series, so they beat Toronto over two legs just barely, even though they're not a good team. So Portland just went in there this past weekend and won. I think it was this weekend, right? They won 2-1. Montreal's kind of got something funny because of Champions League. They've only played 5 games. So, you know, we've played 10 and they've only played 5. They haven't won a game yet. They haven't won a game in MLS. You know, obviously they won
Yeah,
a couple
they
Champions League
have like
games.
what, two ties?
Yeah, 2 ties, 3 losses.
And I want to
So
say their one tie, it was against New England, but it was like early enough in the season that New England was still trying to figure out what they were going to do.
yeah, they drew New England and they drew Orlando City.
Yeah, who exactly isn't, you know, a barn burner.
Yeah, they lost to DC United. They got stomped by Houston, and then they lost to Portland. So, you know, I think this is definitely a game that RSL should be able to control, especially, you know, Montreal played midweek here. You know, so, you know, I'd have to expect RSL to trot out the same formation that we did the last couple games. We'll have to see. I guess Jordan Allen is still up in the air of whether he's going to be there or not. No one seems to know, except for Kassar probably knows, but he
Well,
hasn't said.
you know, I came across an article through the help of one Brian Dunseth, and he down here at the bottom it shares that it looks like Jordan Allen will be with the club, and play the Montreal game, and then immediately get on a plane and head to hang out with Tab Ramos and his U20 team.
Yeah,
So, from the looks of it, Jordan Allen probably will be there.
I would expect so. The way everyone's kind of talking and the way Kassar was responding to questions, LA, one of their players, what was his name? The Bradford the fourth. What?
Bradford Jameson the fourth.
Jameson the fourth. That's right. Anyway, he's doing the same thing from what I heard, is he's going to stay with LA for their game and then leave. So hopefully, you know, we get to keep Allen for one more game before he takes off. Sounds like we're getting closer with Jaime and Plata. They both Plata trained fully today, they said, which is super exciting. That means, you know, maybe in the next I don't know, couple weeks we should be able to see him.
Yeah, my guess is you'll probably see him spend at least one game down with the Monarchs just to get back to game speed, and then he'll be back with us. That's my guess.
Yeah, I mean, Kassar did say, I mean, he said something kind of interesting where you have to balance the risk and reward, which I can understand. Like, if you got a player who's just coming back and then they go to play Montreal or with the Monarchs and then they get hurt from, somebody who's quote unquote, less skilled, right? Coming in on a bad tackle or something, you don't want that. So, yep, you kind of have to weigh whether or not you think it's worth it. But I'm with you. I think that. I don't know that they would do it with Jaime, but I think they might do it with Plata, give him a game or so down there.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So.
Jordan Allen, he has this ability right now that if he blows it up at this U20 World Cup, my guess is you're going to see him World Cup qualifying and playing in the World Cup at least.
For the 23s or for the full team?
Both probably, but my guess is he'll, spend some time qualifying on the Olympic team and
Oh,
then spend a lot of time on the national team. He's
yeah,
Jordan Allen, an ex-field player that RSL has found and developed.
I mean, he certainly has that opportunity. We thought when Gil went over to the was the World Cup, we thought that that was going to be the last time we're going to see him, and he played well, and then nothing really came of it. So, hopefully Jordan Allen, he hasn't actually played that many first team minutes. Hopefully this is a good experience for him, and he gets a lot of minutes under his belt, and learns a bunch playing different teams with different styles, and he comes back even a better player.
Yeah, and I heard that the U20s coach was impressed with the fact that Allen played 90 full minutes for RSL, got on a plane, flew out to the camp, got in, went to sleep that night, got up and played like 45 minutes for the U20s, took a day off from training because everybody got the day off, and the next day went almost 90 minutes for him and was just impressed that he just kept going and there was no die and no quit for this guy.
Yeah, it's great to have an engine like that.
Yeah, and he's ours. He's all ours.
Helps that he's young, obviously.
Yeah. But he could be if he blows it up, he could be another DeAndre Yeldon and European might be calling for him.
Yeah. I hope we pump the brakes a little bit on the hype train since he hasn't actually, he's played what, half a dozen games so far.
Yeah, but
So.
even last year he was Cesar's first sub off the field. I mean, off the bench to the field in the first game last year. So even back then, Cesar was huge on him.
If say we're all healthy, right? We
Yep.
have, and I don't know what formation you would choose at that point, but you would have Sabo, Jaime, Plata, who you think you would all want on, you would want all of them on the field. You would have Beckerman, Morales, Mulholland, and Gil, who you'd all want on the field. And then, oh, and Allen. So, that's too
And
many
Allen can play
people.
either spot.
Yeah, but that's two guys you're going to have to sit of the people that you would prefer to have on the field. So, I mean, that's a great problem to have, but that's not going to be easy for Kassar to decide, who he sits. Is Gil going to be going back to the bench? Is Allen going to be going back to the bench? Don't know.
It's a nice problem to have.
Well, certainly, you'd rather have that than not have enough people, but hopefully we can keep everybody's desires for playing time appeased, And hopefully by the time everyone's healthy
And
and
it's gonna affect.
go ahead.
Gonna say it's gonna work out. Everybody's going to get their playing time because you got to realize that we got U20s about to start. We got Olympic qualifying about to start. After that, you got Gold Cup. We'll end up having Copa America. throw in there some CONCACAF that we're going to be playing in. Everybody and their mother is going to get to play. Guarantee it.
Yeah, I think that through the summer, everyone will have, I mean, we won't be having this problem until August or September if everyone stays healthy. Because like you say, enough people are going to be gone pretty much all summer that, you know, we're going to need the people that are available.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we one day might come in here with a probably looking at something like a Beckerman, Bofo, Mulholland midfield at one time. Just because, you know, depending on how Javi's concussion goes, but there's a chance that one day that might be your midfield if we're running the 4-3-3.
Yeah. Yeah, could be.
And good on Bofo.
Yeah, he seems to be really pressuring people, you know, to get playing time, so that's great.
Yeah, my guess is if Jordan Allen did not make the flight with the team and didn't show up in Montreal, Bofo was going to get a start. That was my guess.
I think that would be really awesome, and I would have been all, I'd be all for it. I think that'd be amazing. Mm-hmm. If Allen's there, though, I have to imagine that he'll start.
Yeah.
So, do you have any thought? I mean, so Montreal, really, you got to worry about kind of transition. They have Dominic Oduro, who's, you know, his Twitter handle is Freaky Fast 8 or something like that, and he's Freaky Fast. So you got to worry about him.
He's still got to run through Olave.
That's right. And, you know, his finishing isn't the best, but he's fast. So, you know, yep. We have to worry about that. And that's about it. I don't know. That Montreal, just they don't have a lot of quality. So
they really don't. I mean, that's a team that, to me, looking at them and – the best way I was told to look at a team is take their team, look at them, and just go ahead and say, okay, if I could swap out, like, an Olave for one of their starting defenders, would I? And if so, who would I take? And it's very hard with this team to go through and find a guy that you're like, you know what? I will trade this guy for this guy just because it's
yeah,
a team that,
I don't think they have anybody. I don't think I would take anybody.
The only person that I would possibly want is Donny Toya. Only because I want to see him back in an RSL uniform.
Yeah, but I wouldn't trade anybody for him.
No, I'd give him some allocation money or something. But that's about as far as I'm going. I mean, and they even got some good players like a Kenny Cooper. But
I mean, Justin Mapp's okay. Jack McInerney's okay. Bakary Samari is okay. You know, their new guy, Piotti, he's really good.
Yeah. But like I said, there's nobody on that squad that you're like, I will trade you straight across.
Right. Yeah.
So
I'm going to predict a 2-0 score. For the good guys.
I'm going to go... Part of me wants to like blow it up and be like, we win 4-0.
6-0 in Montreal.
You know what happened to us last time we played an Eastern team? We're gonna pull that on them, but yeah. I think we win, but I think it's bigger than a 1-0. I'm guessing 2-0, 3-0 around that time frame.
Let's hope we can score. I mean, I have a hard time picturing Montreal scoring, or if they score, you know, scoring more than one. So it just comes down to whether or not we can keep creating chances like we have the last couple of games.
And let's be honest here. They scored against Portland and they put up 2 against Orlando. That's all they've done all year long. That's awesome, I guess.
Is that 3 goals in 5 games?
3 goals in 5 games. But that's also 3 goals in the result of, what, March through May?
Yeah, I mean, they did score a bunch in Champions League. You know, they scored, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118, 119, 120, 121, 122, 123, 124, four, five, six, seven, eight goals in in their Champions League game. So, you know, they scored some, but, you know, obviously in league they haven't been scoring very many. Yeah. So I'm going to assume that continues.
Yeah, and I mean, Houston put three up on them. We could do at least three.
Yeah, we should be able to.
We could do that. That's easy.
One more thing I wanted to ask you about, I forgot about Jordan Allen, is are you concerned? I guess we talked about this a little before, but are you concerned at all with his propensity for smashing skulls with his opponents? Seems like every game he ends up on the ground, or the other, you know, so a player on the other team ends up on the ground because they clashed heads. And he seems to do it way more often than everybody else.
I think that's just the youth in him, the style of play he's accustomed to playing up against, you know, when he was 14, 15, 16 years old, coming up through the RSL Academy and all that, he was playing against kids that were that as big as him. And so he was able to, you know, and he's actually bigger than kids his age, size-wise and stuff like that. So I think he kind of used that to kind of throw people around and kind of take control. But I think he's starting to learn in this league he cannot use his body as a weapon because it's going to hurt.
Yeah, and he's not as big as a lot of other players. So
I think it's just a youth thing. I think he'll learn and he will start learning when to take his chances and not jump.
Yeah, I guess I'm just a little concerned because, you know, skulls are not the same as, you know, heading the ball, obviously. And, you know, if he keeps doing it every game, he's going to start giving himself concussions. And if he keep getting concussions, then, you know, he's going to have to retire at 21 instead of playing for the national team. And we don't want that, so.
Yep, and he looks like a kid that's smart enough. He'll know what he's doing.
Well, and Arsenal's
smart enough. They'll shut him down, or if they see something. I mean, they did it with Javi.
Well, I mean, they put Javi back in the game for, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes before they took him back out. So
yeah, and from the sounds of it, they thought Javi was good, and as soon as he got in there and they started watching him run around and the way he was playing and stuff, it was get him out.
Yeah. Yeah, that Chris Camerone had an interesting article today about Javi, and about how Javi said that he thinks that this concussion has been worse than when he broke his ankle, just because, you know, the ankle you knew was going to get repaired. But, you know, when you damage your brain, you're always kind of nervous, like, you know, am I going to be able to head the ball again, or am I just going to get concussed again?
Yeah. Yeah, so.
So yeah, let's hope that Javi gets, you know, recovers quickly. He's not going to play this weekend, he's said for sure. But I hope they hold him out another couple of games just to make sure.
Yep. So awesome.
Anything else you got?
Something I just heard and figured out that I thought was kind of cool. So over the course of 9 games this season, I pulled away the 4-0 beatdown we received because I have forgotten about that game and refused to remember it. But in the 9 other games, we have only given up 6 goals, and I'm not counting an own goal as a goal. But out of those 6 goals, 1 came off of a PK, 1 came when we were man down, and 1 came because Wando was, you know, half a field offsides.
Yeah.
Other than that, only 3 goals have ever been scored against us that we were, you know, full strength in the field of play type of situations.
Yeah, no, our, I mean,
awesome.
Yeah, I think our defense has been doing really well. I do think there have been several times where we've been fortunate and there have been some scrambling, but you're going to have that, I think, with any defense, so. I've been really pleased with Olave and Vasquez. I think, I mean, Olave's had his few brain farts, like at the end of the LA game, right? With the PK.
No, the PK was the
Oh.
Chicago game.
No, that was Vasquez who got the PK on that one.
Yep.
So I think it was Olave had the one in against LA. Because he got the yellow card for bringing the guy down, and then they got the free kick. But anyway, so Olave's going to have his brain farts and occasionally. And Vasquez, he's still learning. On frame this week, you remember Dunny was talking about him talking with Vasquez about how just, excited he is to learn and play, and how, eye-opening it's been how physical this league is. And so, he's definitely learning on the job. And he's doing great.
Yeah, he's learning awesome. So, but. And a quick note, because it sucks, BYU lost to Harpo's FC in PK shootout, 4-2.
This is true, which is unfortunate because I thought, BYU played better than Harpo's, but in the penalty shootout, Harpo's was definitely better.
Yeah, we don't want to admit it, but yeah.
BYU's penalties were pretty sad.
Yeah.
At least three of them. So, yes, BYU is out to the bar-sponsored Harpo's FC.
Yep, and we also found out that the Real Monarchs will be playing Long Island Rough Riders and get the chance to travel to South Huntington, New York. Guys.
Holy crap. I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden this ginormous spider comes rolling across my table.
You just got to save him and put him outside. It's like that comic. Wild.
It was like one of those like pinkish red spiders too.
Yeah, just put him outside, and so if somebody ever tries to break into your house, he can like take care of him for you.
Nope, he's dead.
Okay. Poor guy.
Sorry, spider. Sorry, all you spider lovers out there that are listening, but he's dead.
We hardly knew thee.
yeah, so the Rough Riders, that's an awesome name, and the Monarchs get to go out and play them. So, we aren't sure who RSL is playing yet still, but they will be joining the competition, in another, I guess, a round after the Monarchs?
Yeah. I just closed it. Oh. I'll hurry and pull it back up.
It's all right. It won't be happening for a little while.
I want to say June, but I may be wrong. Mid-June.
Well, hope you guys have enjoyed the pod. It's been fun. Sorry we missed you guys last week. I'll try not to go on vacation again.
Well, I mean, I was able to record some cool stuff and throw it out there, so they
got
that.
That's true. You got the quotes from the LA game.
Yep.
And next week, we're hoping to have a special guest on for the game against New York City. Do we want to tell them who it is, or just leave it in suspension?
I like suspension.
All right.
We'll drop names leading up to it.
We have an exciting interview lined up that we think everyone's going to really like. Just got to finish finalizing when we can do that. But hope you guys have enjoyed listening.
Let's put it this way: he's a former RSL player,
which is like half of New York City.
Yes. Yes. There's your other clue, New York City.
That's right.
So,
we've had a good time tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. Drop us a line. You can find me at Frisbee_Rich on Twitter.
And I'm at A24Brett or at Touchline_TBS. So,
drop us a message. Tell us how awesome we are and how much you enjoyed the show.
Yes, it'd be awesome.
Anyway, we'll talk to you next time. Peace out, yo.
Later.